Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
No way, Jose!
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jets is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Morning Dump. This is my series of On No Way Jose, where we just kind of do a casual stream. I shoot the shit with you guys. Look at a few articles, threads, stuff like that. Just kind of generic stuff I was going to research anyways. I feel like, you know, the morning dump. Imagine a guy sitting on the toilet with a newspaper or a phone. You know, I guess that'd be the modern version of it. That's kind of what we're doing here. We're going through some of my research, shooting the shit with you guys while I'm at it. Think of this as like a public bathroom, and we're all doing research and sitting next to each other. That's what this is. Good morning, Jose, from Hey Say What Now. Pooh Crew is here from Rich 762 and Tommy 33. Ready for a good dump? Yeah, see? So you guys get the idea. I'm dumping information on you guys. There's so many puns to be had. I really dig this. I forget whose idea this was, but good job. I might have to stop at some point and move the cat wheel. Because if you've been following along with these, it was originally the morning stream. Now we're the morning dump over here on this morning show. I was having issues with the cat wheel. Because I have a little cat wheel they run on. And I forget to lock it for these, so I may have to do that. We'll see if they fuck with it much or not. We'll see. CZO couldn't pass up during my own morning dump. Hell yeah, see, perfect. But I guess while we wait for more people to roll in, also let me know, guys, did you get a notification? I was noticing while I was sitting here watching Lainey's beautiful edit. I was looking down at my phone, and I didn't get any notifications for this, because I'm streaming this to my YouTube channel, to the Tower Gang YouTube channel, and to my Rumble channel. The only notification I got was for Rumble. So I'm like, are they fucking me here? What's going on? I'm just curious. I mean, with that, you know, if you guys can, share this around. Make sure to hit that like button, all the things to combat the algorithm, because I'm sure the algo probably doesn't like me very much. I'm very bad about not saying the no-no words we're not supposed to. So help me out, help me rise above that. But while we wait for more people to get in here, I do want to let you guys know that today's episode was brought to you, as always, by Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of that razor beard irritation and ingrown hair is caused by those multi-blade bullshit, then these are your guys. Go back to the traditional shave. You do not need that expensive nonsense. This is high quality stuff. You can shave just like your grandpa used to. Whether you're shaving your whole face or just edging up your beard, the single blades give you a barber grade shave for a fraction of the price. The standard issue comes with a traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. I always like to break it down for you, the math. Like those last probably, you know, three shaves roughly, let's say. It depends on when it goes dull for you. It's different for everybody or what you're willing to deal with. But that's about 300 days of shaving. And that's so, like, I mean, if you're shaving on the reg, like, I mean, that might not be enough for you if that's every day. And if that's the case, they have the Quarter Shave Club, and that'll put you about 25 cents per replacement blade. My point being is most people don't shave that quite that frequently. So you can, like, let's be real, that $75, that's going to last you probably a lot longer than a year. And you're going to get a much better shave than you would otherwise. He's also got shave lathers now, shave soap. I've checked out both his 3-in-1 and the shave stuff. I really, really dug it. Good smelling stuff. Great for shaving. It's also a COVID mandate refusing company. That's what this was born out of. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Highly recommend this product. I dig it. All right, let's check in with you guys. All right. Yeah, I guess we could. Some people are saying they got the YouTube Rumble's only notification I got. Yes, because I told it to. Oh yeah, don't forget that if you are subscribed and you do want to be notified, you do have to. They got tricky with it. I think it was like a couple years ago where it was no longer sufficient just to fucking follow someone. You had to then also specifically choose the like get all notifications. But even then, that doesn't seem to always be the case. So. I don't know. You do what you can. But it is what it is. All right, let's get into some of the content for today. By the way, I just so you guys know, I'm probably going to do another one tomorrow. It's up in the air. But I wouldn't get too used to 4 a week because I would put it at 4 a week of these morning dumps. But you know, just letting you know, just say keep an eye out for the notification. It'll probably roughly be about the same time. All right, I did want to show you guys this. I thought this was kind of interesting to start out with. Let me see. ABC accidentally aired election results of Harris winning PA or Pennsylvania by 5% with 100% in. You can see at the bottom here. Let me see if I have a way to. Yeah, I just made it bigger for you guys. You can see on the bottom there, Harris at 52% with 3 million and some odd votes, and Trump at 47. And it says reporting 100%. Now, obviously interesting. I got a few people saying, you know, giving me, because I kind of share. Let me see if I can find find mine. Yeah, there you go. This was my post when I asked people if it was real. So a lot of people were telling me this was some sort of, see, from Namrock here, note from WNEP, election test results mistakenly shown on air. You guys probably can't see that small text down at the bottom, but test results for the upcoming November 5th general election mistakenly appeared on WNEP TV. So it's some local one. It's not like this was like the main, but still, early Sunday evening during a broadcast of the Formula One Mexico Grand Prix, those numbers should not have appeared on the screen, and it was an error by WNEP that they did. The numbers seen on the screen were randomly generated test results sent out to help news organizations make sure their equipment is working properly in advance of election night. The numbers were not reflective of any actual vote count. Yeah, I mean, that is that's kind of seems to be their take, was they were running some sort of test, which I guess sort of plausible, still weird. Voting is fake. Yeah, give this person a like. Somehow I missed that one. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I find it interesting. I heard some people were, or I thought there was a reply in there somewhere of someone saying this happens pretty frequently, I guess, where, you know, I guess seems like damn near every, yeah, someone's already saying, didn't this happen last time? I just popped back into the chat. Real quick, I'm going to pop over to Rumble. Sorry, I should have had that set up. I just realized I need to pay attention to that chat. I need to make a point of that so I can see in case you guys super chat over there. With that, if you do really want to make sure I say mention your comment, you can drop a super chat over at Rumble. But for the most part, I'm kind of going through most of you guys' stuff anyways. So, all right, let's get back over here. But yeah, that's what some people in the replies are saying. I don't recall this happening like last election, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you think about how many local like little channels there are of all these different, you know, news like ABC, Fox, whatever. It doesn't surprise me that maybe this could happen once a year. Now, is this some sort of cheating? I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know. It's hard comparing which is more plausible for me because I'm not in that industry. But I guess it's also plausible they could run tests. And I mean, the idea that they would do it during, you know, while they're live is a little ridiculous. But hey, I don't know. Maybe that's some sort of easy oopsies. It seems a little bit ridiculous to me. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. A lot of people thought that was interesting. I did too. Dug into a little bit. Maybe it's not that crazy, but yeah, either way, interesting. All right, what else do we got? Yeah, next, let me see, popping in. Let's check the chat real quick. They playing with your minds, probably talking about I think it was CNN last time. Yeah, and even then, I also wonder, too, to what extent maybe there could be, like, this is just contrived, I don't know. You could take like a top down look at this and go like, oh, this is the powers that be, the big dogs trying to mess with their minds and send this message or that message. Maybe. But also I was thinking about it yesterday and it's like, there's just as much a reason for a local affiliate to do something like that. Cause it's like free, silly press. And for an oopsies, like what is everyone going to get? Like, no one's really going to get mad at you. Like, I mean, I guess maybe some crazies, but you oopsies, you know, and then you got to go. Now people are talking about you, your name's coming up. You can run a few stories on this. It's kind of like you milk some stuff. You can get some PR or some press for it. I could see a local affiliate being like, hey, whatever, you know, boost us up in the ratings or whatever a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I could see it. Now, either way, it was a fun little story. I thought I'd share that with you guys. Now let me pop in here. I think it was CNN. Nothing like a morning dump. Nothing like a morning dump. Is that a thing now? Is that what we're all saying? Is nothing is like a morning dump? All right. Yeah. Test run. Wink. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time believing that they would. Like, I know I don't have a problem with the idea of these things being stolen or rigged or whatever. Wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But the idea that like local channel like that, I don't know. It just seems too fishy that they would have like that already ahead of time. I just feel like it would be, I don't know. I feel like there'd be the op would be a little bit more smoother than that, I guess. I don't know. I mean, obviously I think the government's somewhat inept. But the idea that you have like local fucking channels that already have the fucking graphics or whatever you want for that, like that's the extent to where the degree of control they have, that just seems kind of almost ridiculous to me. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. All right, I got another Ken Silva article for you guys today. That seems to be a going trend here. Keeps being Ken Silva's, but hey, he's what pops up in my feed of stuff that interests me. So, I mean, that's why I like Ken, I guess. Judge orders journalist to destroy records in Pentagon leakers case. All right, now this is Teixeira, Jack Teixeira. If you guys recall this guy, what was this, like probably, 4 months ago or something like that? This was obviously we're going to go over this again. I'm sure that he's going to recap all this in the article, but this is a dude who was in the military and was like in the guard and gave up a bunch of information or whatever. I forget the exact details and how it arrived. There definitely was, from my recollection of this case, there was a lot of glowiness to it. It seemed like one of those standard, like, feds infiltrated a chat room type thing, maybe egged somebody on, like, oh, you should release those records, blah, 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 whatever. But either way, the anti-war message here is the information that came out in that showed that some of the information that leaked showed that it was kind of like what people like me had been saying for a while when it came to the Ukraine-Russia thing, that Ukraine was losing badly. And, you know, the United States for a long time was kind of gaslighting everybody and going, oh, no, we're killing it over here. Oh, they're gonna kill it. They're going to win this war. Or you know, just, you know, making it sound way better than it was. Then the information from Jack Teixeira here leaked. And we realized it, not real, I mean, we already knew, like most of us, but it was like straight up leaks from the military that were kind of admitting this. So it became like more undeniable from the other side of like, oh, yeah, it really is that bad. And so that's what this was. Let's go through the article. All right, Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira is set to be sentenced on November 12th for allegedly leaking classified Pentagon documents on a Discord gaming platform, revealing that the U.S. has boots on the ground in Ukraine. Oh, yeah, that was another part thing that came out of this. That the U.S., the Biden administration spied on Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. Oh, I forget, I didn't realize that part. And that the war there was going worse for Ukraine than officials were saying publicly. Ahead of Teixeira's sentencing, his lawyers reportedly filed an 80-page sentencing memorandum pleading leniency, arguing that Teixeira, who was 21 at the time of his alleged actions, was essentially a child. And I agree. I mean, he's a fucking young kid. They also reportedly said he was bullied as a child, and that he is autistic and severely stunted by his disabilities. Okay, come on. Like, aren't we all? His conduct was clearly wrong and misguided, but his motives and decisions were naive, not nefarious. The attorneys, Brendan Kelly and Michael K. Bachrock, said, according to ABC News. The lawyers seek an 11-year sentence for their client. 11 years, geez. And that's like what that's their best case. Jesus Christ. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's sad, really. I mean, honestly, this guy's kind of a hero. However, Teixeira's sentencing memo was supposed to be filed under seal and was apparently made public by mistake. Presiding U.S. Judge Indira Talwani immediately ordered that the memorandum be made secret again. I'm not going to read his tweet. All right. Judge Talwani also ordered any third party who obtained Teixeira's sentencing memorandum to destroy it immediately. Now, that is key. Obviously, we're about to go into that some more, but any third party who obtained this to destroy it immediately, ordered by a judge. Any third party could be if somehow you got a hold of this, that now you are somehow legally being held by the law so that you can't release this information. It's weird. It's like almost as if we were supposedly told in grade school we had this whole like list of like rights or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. That would include journalists from ABC News and the Boston Globe, which both reported on the secret sentencing memorandum before it was ordered stricken from the docket. All right. So the journalists from ABC News and Boston Globe. So keep in mind, these people have it. The thing that we're going to be wondering here later is what are they going to do with it? Those publications presumably have copies of the sentencing memorandum, but they haven't published it. I mean, I think we all know how this ends, but it is kind of, if you were a journalist worth a damn, this would be the time to whip your dick out and throw it on the table. The judge's order for journalists and other non-parties to destroy the Teixeira memorandum is the latest government intimidation tactic in the Pentagon/Discord leak case. Spy Talk reported last year that one of its readers, former U.S. Army information warfare expert Paul Cabal, was visited by the FBI last week over an article he posted on his LinkedIn account about the Pentagon leaks in April. According to Spy Talk, the FBI visited Cabal's house and asked him to take down an article about the leaks. Cabal said he complied. I gave him my phone and said, here, you find it. You know better how to look for it than me. So I gave him my phone. I don't have anything to hide, he told Spy Talk. Who is this guy again? That's insane. Okie dokie. Former information warfare expert. So it doesn't even make sense. There's no real... this is just a private citizen out there. Wow. Okay, that's wild. Spy Talk asked the FBI agent who visited Cabal's home whether the Bureau was reaching out to everyone who had reposted photos of the Discord leaks and asking them to take them down. That's correct, the FBI agent said, whose name was withheld, told Spy Talk. It was a project of the FBI's counterintelligence program, he said. Okay. That's wild. Although I wonder what would happen if you said no, because, there's no real, I mean, it's one of those things like I'm sure most of my audience here has seen the whole Jeremy Kaufman thing where the FBI came and tried to talk to him. Like you said, in this thing, this Cabal guy, you know, FBI guy came to talk to him. And it sounds like he just kind of complied. Now, had he been like, no, fucking fuck off. Like maybe it would have gone differently. It's just wild to what extent people will just because you have a badge, just kind of do it. It's all right. Let me see. Meanwhile, the DOJ seeks a stiffer 16-year sentence, reportedly arguing that Teixeira perpetrated one of the most significant and consequential violations of the Espionage Act in American history. Yeah. All right, cool. I did want to point out, re-highlight right here, it was a project of the FBI's counterintelligence program, he said, which, I mean, we're not going to get too in the weeds about the Teixeira thing, but as I said, if you dig into some of the older stories, and I think Ken's written some of them, so if you go to, like, Headline USA and maybe search, there's usually a search bar on the top right to look at Ken Silva or Teixeira or whatever, you'll probably find some stuff. But yeah, there was definitely, I believe this was stuff from a chat room. So it definitely seems like one of these situations where he was in some sort of group chat or something, and there may have been glowies in there is what it seems like. Especially now they're saying, oh, this was a project of the FBI's counterintelligence program. They're going around trying to clean up any information of it. I mean, that must have been like initially, I'm sure they were hoping that this would die down. I think this has gotten out, you know, a little bit out of their control at this point, at least not to the extent to where they're not going to be able to just go knocking on doors and ask people to take down information. It's slipped past that. So they're fucked there. But yeah, keep an eye on this story if you guys can. If you guys see stuff about the Teixeira stuff that interests you online, make sure to tag me. That way I can look into it so I can keep an eye on this story as well. I definitely think they're, you know, this guy's a hero for one. So there's that one angle there. It's also the other side of like what weird shit is going on? Like what is the, like, there definitely is some sort of like a, you know, PatCon, COINTELPRO shits going on here, in my opinion, from like my recollection of the story. So it definitely interests me on multiple fronts. So keep an eye on this, guys. Let's pop back into the chat. Really thought that cat was going to eat shit. Oh, was there a cat jumping behind me? Oh, yeah, they do some wild shit. One of them's really fucking fat, and he almost misses sometimes. Happy Halloween. No, happy Halloween. Oh yeah, it is Halloween. I forgot about that. Maybe I should have tried to do some sort of spooky fucking themes. Oh, Fat Dave, what's up? What's up, Cole? Should I watch this or Dave and Malice? I haven't watched Dave and Malice yet. I don't know. So you tell me. Time to move to Russia. Yeah, for real. All right, let's see what else we got. All right, I got another story. This is still in the realm of Ukraine, Russia. This was something one of you guys shared with me. I believe this is in the Tower Gang Telegram chat there. Someone asked, are you dressing up and going trick-or-treating? I'm not dressing up. My kids are going. I have a 15-year-old and a, well, 14-year-old. So it's going to be 15 here soon. And a 12-year-old. The older one is, like, she's a freshman in high school. And I think she's, like, in, she's going, but I think it's probably going to be, like, one of her last years, if I have to be honest. And then the younger one, she's going, the oldest one is going to, we're going to a certain area that we normally go to, kind of like the nice area that we've over years scouted out as being, like, the good spot to hit for Halloween. We're going there. My oldest already has friends she's going to go walk around with or whatever, because she doesn't want to hang out with her parents. Too cool for school. And the youngest one, we're bringing her friend with us, and we're going to go walk around. So, yeah, I'm going to do some trick-or-treating today. Should be fun. Someone says, do some content on cryptids for Halloween. Sounds like a good topic. I mean, it's too late now. I don't know. And I've also never really, I mean, I'm like mildly interested in cryptid stuff, but not that much. And I mean, I used to be more, but over time, just kind of like, it's fun to think about, but not that big of a deal. Oh yeah, trick-or-treating too, so far as that. I'm not dressing up. My wife's not dressing up. The youngest is going to be Strawberry Shortcake, is what she's going as. And the oldest is going as one of the Among Us characters. She got one of those stupid inflatable thingies. She's pretty funny looking. All right, let's see what else we got for you guys. I forgot. I was leading up to another Ukraine Russia thing. Someone sent this to me from the Tower Gang Telegram chat, so I'm going to look into it. I've only skimmed it a little bit before, so I don't know. This was, I know a lot of people were talking about the essentially Western people that seem to have been killed by Russian. So here, right here, it says, in Bryansk, Russia, Russian special forces tracked, ambushed, and wiped out a team of Western saboteurs working under the Ukrainian flag who infiltrated the border. They are U.S. and Canadian tattoos clearly show they are current or ex-U.S. special forces, exceptionally well-equipped. All right, and I'm going to try to, like, avoid playing the videos. If you guys want to watch the videos, go look them up yourselves. I just feel like there's literally dead people in this. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if I get flagged for that. So I don't just feel like they're probably not cool with us doing it. More daylight footage clearly shows U.S. military insignia tattoos. I did look at these before. It is kind of like, yes, I do think they are correct. It looks like, assuming this footage is correct, and obviously the story is correct, that this did happen in Russia, and these are people who were killed in some sort of skirmish. These are people who clearly had, you know, there was stuff in there I saw that was like different companies or whatever, different units tattoos. So it was like, it's a military tattoo. Now, what can we derive from that? Not a whole lot, just that probably these guys were at some point in the military, and that they are from, you know, over here, from like an English-speaking area. I mean, I don't know, maybe it was Canadian units or whatever, like they were saying, or some other English-speaking, but it looked, you know, you guys know I did over a decade active duty military, so like, I mean, I know what these kind of like military, you know, general-looking insignias look like. I'm like, that's what that is. I mean, sure, it could be another military. I may not know the exact unit, especially because it was like kind of a quick glance at a tattoo. But either way, yes, it seems to confirm that these are Western forces of some sort and that those are military tattoos. One of the Ukraine servicemen killed yesterday was American Corey John Narwaki in the U.S. He served as a Marine for 20 years and had been in Ukraine for only months. Now, Rocky reportedly only arrived in Ukraine 2 months ago, and on September 4th was issued a military ID in Kyiv. Yep, so here you go. Now, this is all the information I'm aware of, and I know a lot of people are freaking out about it, but, I mean, obviously not cool. I mean, I'd wish there wasn't war, but now, like, a lot of people are trying to extrapolate from this that, you know, the U.S. is getting involved, that these are U.S. troops, or that these are somehow, or Canadian or whatever, but I don't know. The thing is, it's also a possibility that they're using mercenaries. So it's like these could be people who got out. Like the guy at the bottom here, he did 20 years. And so I'm assuming he probably retired and then he's probably trying to make some money. He's like, well, fuck it, I'll go over to Ukraine. And he's probably making bank, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, maybe they were doing it like in a sheep dip type thing or to where it was under the purview of the United States government. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't know. So I think it's a little bit of a non-story. People getting worked up about it. I don't know. Unless there's something I'm missing that really shows they were working under the auspices of, you know, some Western government as opposed to of their own free will. And I don't really know what to do with this. It just seems like kind of like a nothing burger. So sorry to be a little downer. I know this is a conspiracy political sort of show. And so you'd like me to fucking spurg out from there. But on the same hand, though, I do think there probably are fucking military units that aren't working directly for our government that are over there. And you know what? I bet you if the unit like that was killed, it probably looked just like this. And it also probably, we would probably have no idea if that were the case, if they were working. Like, it would probably be completely. So I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. It could be either way. But yeah, either way, we shouldn't be involved in this war. It's fucking retarded. All right, let's check in on the chat. All right. Bet they got not see tattoos also. I didn't remember seeing any. I don't know. I only watched these videos like once through. You guys can go check it out. If that's something you want to look into. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really, unless there's some sort of information I'm missing. I know I saw a lot of people like being like, oh my God, look, there were Western soldiers. And it's like the implication there is that they're trying to almost say that the U.S. government is directly involved beyond just like providing ammo, money, all that shit, which we are like, even it was in reference to the Azov battalion, he said, but yeah, we're even admittedly to the point to where we're doing everything but, you know, being in there. I think where they also have distanced it far enough to where they don't have like operators helping in any way. I forget. It gets bizarre. To what extent is that thin little line to where it's like now we're like it's an act of war against another country? I mean, I would say just literally funding it should be enough, but like, or you know, ammo, whatever. But it's ridiculous. Yeah, there have been mercs on the ground from Western countries since the beginning. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I know a lot of people were like bringing up this story, and I'm like, Yeah, I'm sure there are mercenaries over there. But on the same hand, there's also probably fucking legit fucking spooks over there, too, that are doing similar shit. So it's like, now how do you tell the difference between the two? I don't fucking know. But I'm just saying we don't really... I mean, it is what it is. But, all right, let's see. What else do we got here? Let's do... I've been telling you I'm going to do this Columbus one for a while, so let's do this Columbus one. It feels very... what is it? It's Halloween. It's like a fall thing, October. It feels very... I don't know why. Columbus just feels like a Halloween, like a fall-themed thing. So let's do that. Maybe I'm just thinking because I associate it in my head with Thanksgiving, although I don't think Columbus had shit to do with that. All right, this is for Foundering. Want to give him the show sometime, by the way. So if you guys want, holler at him. Say, go on Jose's show. Columbus the illegitimate son of Pope Innocent VIII? Was he an agent in the race to control the New World? Did the financial powers behind Venice want it kept hidden? Why has his story been manipulated, marginalized, and memory old? Venice once controlled the world's finances for centuries. The Council of Ten was the main governing body of Venice, acting behind the scenes. In 1204, the Fourth Crusade was manipulated by Venice. Instead of reclaiming Jerusalem, they sacked the city of Constantinople instead. Sorry, burp there. Sorry if you guys heard that. This led to the fall of the Imperial Library of Constantinople, the last great library of the ancient world. It was allegedly destroyed by the Venetians of the Fourth Crusade, but there's no record of mass burning of transcripts or manuscripts like Alexandria. It was all confiscated by Venice. All right, this is 1204. And we all know that Columbus was 1462. We know that, so keep that in mind. I'm trying to follow along the thread here. All right. Knowledge is power, and the priceless manuscripts of Constantinople gave Venice complete control over the narrative. Less than a century later, Venetian merchant Marco Polo may have been acting as a covert agent for Venice sent to confirm the New World. Because of its geographic location, Venice would not benefit if existence of the New World got out, so it was guarded jealously. All the while, they started transferring their power structure elsewhere, London, since those locations would benefit from the restructuring. Enter the enigmatic Christopher Columbus, an agent of Genoa, one of Venice's great rivals. Genoa had stumbled upon an important map. It was a cartographic documentation of a new world. If they could prove its existence, it would be a significant blow to the hegemony of Venice. The Piri Reis map of 1513 is a fascinating time capsule due to its visual similarities to parts of the Americas not officially discovered at the time. Joseph P. Farrell writes in the Financial Vipers of Venice, "The Turkish Admiral Piri Reis prize opened the door to a significant mystery regarding Columbus and the possible real, though very definitely secret, purposes of his initial voyage for Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain." On his now-famous map, there are marginal notes by the admiral himself, and in one of these, Piri Reis states, "I also studied the chart that Christopher Columbus drew for the West." Note that Piri Reis states that he's relying upon a chart drawn by Columbus for the West. But the questions are, when did Columbus draw this chart, before or after his first voyage? And more importantly, what did it show? The standard answer, of course, is that Columbus drew his chart, quote-unquote, for the West, after his return to Europe from his first voyage. However, in yet another marginal role, the Turkish admiral states something truly astounding. Ponder these words closely. "But it is reported thus that a Genoese infidel, his name was Colombo..."
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
"He it was who discovered these places. For instance, a book fell into the hands of the said Colombo, and he found it said in this book that at the end of the Western Sea, Atlantic, there were coasts and islands and all kinds of metals and also precious stones." Okay, all right. Here's the map. Kind of cool. Pretty neat. I wonder if I could zoom that in. I don't know if you guys can see when I zoom it in on my computer. It's pretty nifty. That's a cool looking map. All right. And sorry for the audio listeners out here. It's just really cool seeing this. It is a really, it's pretty sick. All right. Let's go. Let's get out of that. All right. According to Peary Rice, Columbus possessed a book relating the knowledge of the New World. He knew there was an abundance of bullion and gems, bullion not in the hands of the Venetians, and thus a means of breaking the banking monopolies of Italy. The publicly stated purpose for Columbus's voyage, that the Genoese navigator was seeking a direct trade route to the Far East, was not the real purpose of the voyage. The real purpose from the outset was to find Atlantis, the hands of the Western Sea, to find the New World and its riches. Historian Las Casas noted that prior to his first voyage, Columbus had a world map, which he showed to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and which apparently convinced them that they should move back Columbus. Or that they should back Columbus, not move. I don't know where I got move in there, my bad. Spain's king and queen would certainly back such a venture. If Columbus failed to find the New World, a trade route to the Far East might still be opened, bypassing the rival Portuguese monopoly routes around the Horn of Africa and through the Indian Ocean. If Columbus did discover the New World with vast resources of spices, bullion, and gems, Ferdinand and Isabella would also gain. It was a win-win proposition, but one whose true purpose, the testing of a tradition of hidden knowledge, had to be maintained in deepest secrecy lest Spain lose its jump-start position in the race for those riches. Charles Hapgood notes how Peary Rice had ancient maps at his disposal in Constantinople, and it's possible that copies had reached the West long before his day, such as the 1204 Venetian capture of Constantinople. For years, Italian merchants had access to these maps. All right, so that's how we're connecting it back to earlier. Maybe I missed that earlier. But yes, that these maps were likely caught, these were from the Constantinople stuff, so this is probably more ancient knowledge that we've had, that they had had for centuries already. So yeah, there's that map before, that we were looking at before from Charles, and here is another map. That's nifty too. All right, I mean, a little off, obviously, but yeah, all right, let's get back to it. No one has been able to decipher the strange signature of Columbus. Who was he? Why does the tomb of Genoa naval Pope Innocent VIII say he was Pope during the discovery of the New World when he died 1 week after Columbus left for his first voyage? Okay, that's weird. Why does the tomb of the Genoan naval Pope Innocent VIII say he was Pope during the discovery of the New World? Okay, so the technically, according to our understanding of history, the New World hadn't been discovered yet. It would have been a good while. I don't know how long it would have been before Columbus had reached his destination, but he definitely hadn't been there yet, and not just a week to cross the ocean. So, and yeah, this guy had already died, so it is kind of wild to say it was during the discovery of the New World. All right, that's interesting. Mainstream historians dismiss Innocent VIII's tomb as erroneous, but alternative researchers take it further. Was the naval pope also an explorer? Did he already discover the New World with his own son, who we now call Christopher Columbus? It's a bit of a jump, the son, but it is weird that it says on his thing, so it does make you think that maybe the New World had already been discovered, and maybe later who they claimed did it may have been different later. Now, I'm not seeing, obviously maybe we'll get into it and come to find out there's something more to the son thing, but right now this is just completely... kind of pulled out of thin air. But okay, let's see. Was his journey even more esoteric? Was he part of an ancient tradition that required the discovery of a new world to usher in the events of the apocalypse? Pope Giovanni Sibo, which is this Innocent VIII guy, was the first to encode documents in ciphers. Was he steeped in the Hermetic arts? All right, once again, I mean, maybe there's something to these tangents, but I don't know of anything to back these up, but okay. Trying to see if there's anything here. All right, Innocent VIII is remembered as the rule of Innocent VIII, which is from 1484 to 92. Oh, geez, he only was for 8 years. Is remembered as the golden age of bastards. He acknowledged 8 illegitimate sons and was known to have many more, although he found time between love affairs to start up the Inquisition. On his deathbed, he ordered a comely wet nurse to supply him with fresh milk fresh from the breast. Dude, this is fucking ancient toad. That's what this is. All right. This dude was wild. This was a fucking pope. All right. 1484. Okay. Yeah. All right. Why did Columbus' son Ferdinand claim his father was descended from the blood royal of Jerusalem? Okay. Maybe we're getting somewhere now. Obviously assuming that claim is correct, or not the claim, but the claim that the Ferdinand said that, was he the bastard son of Pope Innocent VIII and Anna Colonna? This theory is argued by some Italian historians. Is the strange cipher of Columbus really on the tomb of the Pope? All right, here's some little snippet that he pulled somewhere. So it says Columbus's parentage claimed, according to some historical accounts and research, Christopher Columbus may have been the illegitimate son of Anna Colonna, a member of the powerful Colonna family, and Pope Innocent VIII. This theory proposes that Columbus's biological father was the Pope rather than Domenico Colombo, his traditionally recognized father. Well, I guess if some historical accounts and research say it, sure. I don't know. I guess I'd want to know a little bit more, but we'll take your word for it here that, like, whoever this is, that is the case. I don't know. Maybe there is some tidbits here and there that imply that, but I don't know. All I know so far is that this Pope is known for having bastards, and that I guess there's rumors. So I don't know. Anna Colonna's connection to the papacy. The Colonna family was a prominent noble family in medieval Italy with ties to the papacy. Now, I wonder, I mean, maybe I missed this before, if the bastards were conceived during his rule, or if this was a before and during type thing, or if he stopped. I don't know. I'm just curious. With ties to the papacy, Anna Colonna was a daughter of Filippo the First Colonna and married Taddeo Barberini, nephew of Pope Urban VIII. This family connection may have facilitated a relationship between Anna and Pope Innocent VIII. Pope Innocent VIII was known for his personal scandals and illegitimate children. Marino's research suggests that Pope Innocent VIII may have had a son with Anna Colonna, making Columbus his bastard offspring. Marino's research. I don't know who this Marino guy is. All right. Columbus's signature and papal connections. Some researchers point to Columbus's signature on the tomb of Pope Innocent VIII as evidence of their alleged relationship. Oh, I missed that part earlier. Okay. I remember that we mentioned the signature, but for some reason I missed the detail that it was on Pope Innocent VIII's tomb as well. So okay, that's interesting. I mean, that adds something. But okay. Additionally, Columbus's voyage to the New World coincided with the papacy's interest in expanding its influence and power. All right. Okay, that's interesting. Why is he being erased? Is it really because he was a bad man, or is it because he represents a hidden history of the world, one they still hide? Did he strike a blow to their power structure, or did he ultimately reinforce it? Either way, there's always more to the story. Yeah, I don't know if there's really some sort of reason behind the erasing, if that's why. If anything, I feel like they flaunted. If that were the case, if there is some deep, dark history behind it, they flaunted in our face forever. I don't think they're worried about that information coming out, to be honest with you. I just think no one cares at that point. By the way, for those who don't know as well, I'm pretty sure Robert Sepper has done some work on this. I'm pretty sure this dude was also a Jew. I guess that's the quickest way to put it. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but he was I forget what they called him. It was one of the ones, the converso, I believe, what they called him. He, like, literally was a Jew pretending not to be a Jew at the time, because they had been, I believe this is when they got expelled from Spain. So there were people who converted. I think he was one of the converted, but I believe it's, like, implied he was still kind of secretly. So that's interesting. I mean, obviously that can be completely innocent. That also could then kind of feed into like Sabbatean type theories. kind of like, holy shit, look at this person who shaped the course of our modern world, and was, you know, pretending to be a different religion than he actually was. And, you know, which that has very much has parallels over with the Sabbateans. All right. Popped over to Rumble. All right, let's see what all you guys have to say. All right. Defund Israel and Ukraine. Yeah, defund everybody. Defund USA. Let's do it. I just took my morning dump. But yeah, that's going to be everyone's thing. Sup, Tardos. Morning retards. People have been traveling to this new world since Bronze Age. Yeah, probably. Probably get like Sam Urban on sometime to talk about that. I've been meaning to have him on for quite a long time. And he recently got mentioned on Rogan, which was wild. So yeah, I'll probably have to have him on sometime and talk about this type of stuff. Holy smokes. It's my favorite laid back conspiracy variety show. What's up, Pistolero? Good morning from Stacks Farmstead. Robin says a very racist good morning. Poop, poop, poop from Elliot James. Everyone's saying hi to each other. Kelowna family is black nobility, or however you spell it. What up? That's Jules from the Grey Pill podcast. Everyone's saying hi to him. Sephardic Jew. I forget the differences. I think, don't they think the Sephardic, like the, that's the one the Ashkenazis look down on. I forget the differences between the two. I think it's just a bloodline thing, really. This is where the Columbo crime family comes from. All right. Well, that's interesting. Crypto Jew. And then there's Jews pretending to be Jews that aren't Jews.
I'm just a Jew, plain a Jew, disguised as a Jew.
that was a Robert Downey Jr. reference. All right, everyone's saying hi. Coffee and poop. Yeah, I have my coffee too. You know, that even fits the theme too. By the way, I want you guys on Twitter to go bug Top. He's had a in the queue to put out for a while. I don't think he ever did. He had a Gladio hat, you know, like an Operation Gladio hat, and I really, really want it, but he never actually made it. He showed me the design. He was saying he was going to make it at some point. I think he was talking about making another, like, separate tab with some, like, stuff for my stuff, and I think that was going to be one of the part of, like, my merch stuff is, like, a Gladio hat. Go bug him. I want that fucking Gladio hat, okay? That thing was sick, and I need a new hat. Like, you guys see all these black shit? This is literally because I would wear it when I work, and my hands would get greasy and dirty, and I'd fucking, like, touch my hat, but it was like, my hair is all fucked up today, so it's like, this is, hats are just a hack for a bad hair day. That's all that is. So, like, just throw a hat on and we're all good. But I need my Gladio hat. You guys go bug Top Lops about that. I want that. Also, tell him you want the Yeeky shit bad. I mean, I think that, I'm assuming if he was going to make me a separate tab again, cause I think he's been reworking his site for a while now. Currently, I don't have any merch out there. I also do need to get some Already Dead merch. I've had multiple people ask about Already Dead merch. But the problem is, I do want to rework that art. But I don't want to bug Top Lops about it. Maybe if the show gets to a point where it's consistently doing like crazy numbers and I can, you know, talk him into doing some merch. But if someone out there who has some sort of idea or, you know, whatever, let me know. If you have some sort of design, I mean, I probably maybe can make him get a shirt. I don't want to do just the current thumbnail that I have. I don't know why. I don't like that on a shirt. I like it as a thumbnail. I think it's corny as a shirt. And I also do want to at some point rework that thumbnail. I just like that rough idea, that vibe, that aesthetic. I want something similar. Maybe change the Pepe to like a me in Austin. Maybe just add in another character type deal. Kind of like if you guys remember Top Lobster's Nephilim Death Squad shirt where they're like both Saiyans and like a, and it kind of feels like the old school Dragon Ball Z, like Saiyan, like a Z fighter shit, and they're like standing next to each other, kind of like that vibe. Like that's what I want to go for. So I don't know if there's anyone art out there, throw it out there. I don't know. You don't have to do it. I mean, I just know there's sometimes the audience comes up, does some really fucking cool shit. So I'll rock a No Way Jose shirt if it doesn't make it look retarded or put a wiener on it or something. Yeah, see, here you go. By the way, we had No Way Jose shirts for a while. So, but I do like the thumbnail. Where is that from? Is that which thumbnail are you talking about, Carl? Are you talking about the current thumbnail for this one? Are you talking about the Already Dead thumbnail? Because I've just been using on these morning dump ones, I've just been reusing the thumbnail, the old school, like I think it was like the episodes probably the episode 50 to 200 range era thumbnail, the stock one. You know, it's just the cool little like different like weird, the one you're looking at right now, if you look at the thumbnail. Oh, he's talking about the already dead one. Yeah, the already dead one. Where is that from? I think I was looking up. I had seen it somewhere, and I was just like, dude, that kicks ass. And it was kind of the vibe I was going for, because I was going for already dead, kind of playing off the motif of, like, characters who got suicided, you know, type deal. And then it was like also that little clip from that intro. If you guys have watched that show, which I assume most of you have, that little intro we have, it also makes that like think about like Already Dead. There's also a Silverstein song that I love called Already Dead. I was always a big Silverstein fan. So it connects on multiple levels. But yeah, that was just some that fit. It was like a Guts Pepe, which, I mean, anyone knows Berserk. I also have read like most of the Berserk series. I need to catch up where they're at now. But kick-ass series, like probably the only manga I've ever really actually read, and it's probably one of the best fucking like fiction stuff out there. But that fits with the motif, like that. If you understand the struggle of Guts in the Berserk series, it very much fits with the vibe of all those different things I was tying together, those different motifs, different between the art, you know, between the intro, the art, the theme of the show, kind of like it just kind of, there was a good through line. Cause I mean, if anyone knows, Guts like literally was like what supposed to be a sacrifice to some demonic thing. He fucking like, you know, his rage into, you know, force of will pushes him through, and he's just like literally destroying evil while being consumed by it in himself in a certain sense, and, you know, with rage. I don't know how to describe it. It's really great. If you're into fiction, if there's any one you're going to read, I would recommend that. It kicks ass. I don't think I'd like that as a shirt unless it got reworked. It would have to get reworked. Just throwing it out there. But point being is I want a Gladio hat. I'm kind of rambling now. But all right, what else do we have? Let's see what else we got. I have a Tim Walz being a communist thread. I have just a kind of little thread with John Doe 2 and how the FBI kept accusing little kids of being it. You know what? What are we at right now? Let's do one more. Let's finish it off with, let's do a little ode to Dissident Media here. They did a thread a while ago, and I kind of wanted to take a second to go through it with you guys. Dissident Media, I had Amy Lepore on the show recently. Seems like a thing she's heading up. I think Michael Heiss might have something to do with it too. I don't really understand exactly what it is, but it sounds like they're kind of trying to be like a Blaze type thing here going forward. Right now, they're just a Twitter thing. Let me bring them up real quick so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Where is it? Fuck. Oh, there it is. So here you go. Dissident Media. I'll highlight it for you guys. Yep, you can see they got like 25,000 followers. This is being run by, I believe, Amy Lepore, and I would assume, I think like her husband too. He's good shit too. I forget what his name is offhand. Amy Lepore. God, how am I not thinking of his name? Either way, you know, I bet you he's in the... No, whatever. But yeah, either way, they're doing cool stuff. I'm kind of interested in what's going on over there, so I figured I'd put a little shine on what they're doing here. In 2014, 300 doctors sounded the alarm on Anthony Fauci's gain-of-function research. In order to escape scrutiny, Fauci moved his operations offshore to places like Ukraine and China. All right, let's play this video of this Israeli asset here.
We're going to take a wild virus, and we're going to make it more pathogenic, more virulent, more deadly. And then we're going to develop a vaccine for that. And that's classic gain-of-function research. Why are they doing that? You know, why? What is the rationale for them doing that? The only real rationale, if you think about it, is to develop bioweapons and then develop a defense to those bioweapons. So that's what they were doing. And Anthony Fauci was given a 68% raise by the military because of these new military responsibilities. He continued to do that to 2014, and that year, three of the bugs escaped in high-profile escapes from three different labs in the United States. Really deadly bugs escaped or were found in unsafe circumstances. And 300 scientists sent a letter to President Obama asking him to shut down Anthony Fauci's research on gain-of-function, saying that it was highly likely that he would start a global pandemic with this kind of very dangerous research. And President Obama issued a moratorium and shut down 18 of the worst projects by Anthony Fauci, or ordered them shut. In the end, he really didn't shut them. He instead moved the research offshore, where he would be out of the oversight of these troublesome scientists, the 300 scientists, a group that called itself the Cambridge Working Group, and of the and of White House officials. And the major lab offshore that they moved this research, there were other ones too. They moved research to Ukraine, to the former Soviet state of Georgia. But some of the worst research, they moved to a Chinese lab that was run by the Chinese military, the Wuhan lab.
And the rest was history.
Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China.
All right. This group of 300, better known as the Cambridge Working Group, was concerned that Fauci would initiate a global pandemic. Their names are here. Let me see. Are you guys able to see what I'm looking at right now? Oh, no, never mind, you're not. Whatever, I don't think it matters if we go through the names of the people. I was just going to bring that up real quick. All right, make sure you guys still see what I'm seeing. All right, there was an initial response to CWG's, the Cambridge Working Group's concerns because the cases include an accidental shipment of live anthrax. All right, the discovery of forgotten live smallpox samples and the newly revealed incident in which a dangerous influenza strain, I don't know why they did the there. Lab incidents lead to safety crackdown at CDC. Agency halts shipments from high containment labs, announces reforms in wake of lapses involving anthrax, smallpox, and influenza. All right, yeah, pretty wild. They're doing that. Not only were there multiple incidents, but lab workers failed to undertake proper safety precaution or potentially expose workers to live anthrax. CDC's actions following incidents last month. This is a clip for an article, by the way, for those listening. A little snip of some sort. I don't know where the article's from. But CDC's actions following incident last month in which up to 75 CDC workers were potentially exposed to anthrax when samples thought to be dead proved to be live. A CDC internal report released today describes how scientists failed to follow proper procedures to ensure samples were inactivated before they left the lab. The investigation also found multiple other problems with operating procedures in the anthrax lab, Frieden said. Well, that's the end of that thread. Pretty short thread, but it does do a succinct, a very good, you know, quick job of kind of explaining a good working theory on how the old COVID played out, essentially. It looks like he essentially was to escape scrutiny. Fauci was moving stuff around, was putting stuff in Ukraine and China. I know that was a going theory for a while. I never really hunted that you know down too much to find out to what degree of truth there was there. I feel like the, you know, I felt like it was probably semi-truthful, the idea that there were bio labs in Ukraine, that maybe that was a big component of what's going on here. I know that's been kicked around, but there definitely was in China. They definitely were doing gain of function in China. It's pretty damn clear at this point that's what was going on. And obviously there were all sorts of stuff about issues that there would be, you know, obviously this Cambridge Working Group was had concerns about this, with this article we looked at, that they were not handling things well. Now, I know a lot of people might want to apply some sort of level of intentionality, and sure, maybe, but, and maybe this, being, so irresponsible to some extent was kind of a, smokescreen intentionally. Not saying that they were intentionally being irresponsible, but the people, the powers above, didn't care and kind of allowed it to, because it's like, whatever, that fits our needs. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but we do know at the very least, it seems like the playing fast and loose with how they handled this shit. And I guess we can take the view that oopsies. I mean, I still struggle with oopsies. But maybe, I don't know, sometimes there's stranger things have happened. Maybe it was just an oopsies, a very, very corrupt oopsies that should have never, ever, ever happened, and people should pay for it. But even then, that's at the light level. It was a fuck up, oopsie, and people metaphorically heads should roll. And we haven't even experienced that. In reality, I'm a little bit more schizo than that. I think there probably was some intentionality in the works, and it should be far more hell to pay. All right, let's check in with you guys on the chat, and then I think we might roll out of here. Let's see what you guys say. Savardic are from Liberia, and Mizrahi are from, I've never even heard of a Mizrahi Jew, are from Northern Africa and Mid East. Oh, they're talking to that. And Bill Gates got edited by Netherlands. Edited. Maybe you mean something else. I do recall indicted, maybe. I do recall something that there were some sort of charges. Oh, here we go. What are Gates' charges in Holland? I'm not sure. I think you guys can share articles in the chat, by the way. So maybe if you guys do find stuff like that, I'm willing to try that, bring it up. But yeah, or if you guys can try to tag me on Twitter or whatever. But yeah, I'll probably do another one of these again tomorrow. So if anyone has anything on that, maybe I'll look it up myself, see if there's anything interesting there. Yeah, we all know that the Ashkenazis are the ones that are the problem. I don't know. I mean, I think the Ashkenazis are the ones that are like generally the Europeans that are kind of then went over through the whole Zionist project and Israel and blah, blah, blah. So I think from my recollection, I don't know. Fraud from manipulating research, or should I say Kazarians? Yeah, the old Kazarian. Lying? That's what the indictment's for, being a fibber. That's what they're saying in the chat. Good morning, Tyler. Good morning. Okay. I don't know. I feel like they're probably, if I had to guess, the Bill Gates thing's probably a nothing burger, but who knows? Maybe he's going to pay for all his crimes against humanity. Doubt it a little bit, but possibly. DM sent on Telegram on Patreon tier idea. Okay, I like that. Okay, I'll check that out later, bud. Good morning. Probably won't get him. Yes, but all right. Everyone's saying hi. Well, we're at about an hour now, and I want to leave a little bit of content for tomorrow. With that, where I'm doing this I'm going to be doing this like 3 days, 3+ days. I need you guys to help out. Tag me in things on Twitter. Send me stuff on Telegram, DMs, whatever works. Any way you can think of getting things to me. If you're a patron, maybe you can just like throw it on any old post. I'll see a notification on it. Check it out. But yeah, I appreciate you guys, being here, coming on, hanging out with me. I do want to let you guys know, I see people in the chat, I was just laughing at some of the chat. I do want to let you guys know, if you guys want to support this, if you want to keep seeing this, if you like this three or more a day or a week format that I'm working on right here with you guys, where I kind of shoot the shit with you guys, we kind of go through some stuff. Also, if you want to change the format up a little bit, let me know. But if you like this, this isn't probably going to be forever. I mean, I told you guys my situation recently. I'm kind of hanging out for probably about a month going part-time, only working maybe a couple days a week, but I'm going to be doing like probably three or more of these morning dumps with you guys, obviously keeping up my normal schedule with No Way Jose, Ari Dead and Tower Gang as well. But I'm upping my production, what I'm producing out here of content, while I go part-time, so I can kind of help chauffeur my wife to and from work, kind of be around her more often while we see how she adjusts to her new seizure meds and make sure she doesn't have any more breakthrough seizures. But if you guys want to keep seeing this, like, because at a certain point I got to go back full-time, because I just got it. I got bills to pay, got mouths to feed, that kind of deal. But if you guys like this, pay up. I mean, it really is that simple. So if you guys want to keep seeing this, I've seen, by the way, I did see Torin. I do want, you upped yourself to the sponsor level recently. I'll DM you later. I didn't include your full name here because I don't know if that's what you want to do, but at the highest level of my Patreon, I do give them a shout out, but I'll send you a message on Patreon soon. See how you want me to shout you out on the show, but I do appreciate you guys, stepping up, and it seems like you guys like this. So if you guys want to keep seeing it, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm probably going to go back full time if there's not enough demand. I mean, I don't know any specific amount. It really depends on my situation when this, once my wife hopefully gets to a stable point, not having seizures anymore. But yeah, if you want to support me, patreon.com/NoyJose2020. If I do start seeing an upsurge in support, I do, I don't know at what point in my Patreon then I'll start making other ones, because I've seen some other people saying, hey, this or that. But it's like, I just don't even make that much off it to me to really even justify having like 12 different fucking payment things. So I don't know. Maybe once, because I'm not even at like 500 a month on Patreon, just so you guys know, in the realm I'm at. I'm not going to tell you exactly because it just feels tacky. I don't make a ton off this. So, I mean, maybe once I get to like that, then I'll probably like do other ones. If you guys have suggestions for other payment things you like, let me know. Which seems like too much to keep up with if you're not getting like a substantial amount from it or something. But I mean, every bit counts. So I do appreciate you guys. But that's patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. The lowest level is the $2. That gets you the early No Way Jose episodes. It allows you on my already dead episodes to come on and be a talking head alongside us. And then also Pistoleros, you know, said he gave me an idea for maybe something for these streams, some sort of Patreon tier. Cause I did want to figure out something for you guys. And then also the highest level, that's my sponsors. I read them off every episode. That's my co-host Toad on Tower Gang, at Tower Gang Toad, my co-host on Tower Gang Toad. My bad. I said that weird. Then I have at Abrogate D's. I have at @ZOVERACK @_infinitezeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast @BiblicalAnarchy. Then I also have Tim Tuttle @JollyOnKlebold. He makes some dope edits for the show. Then Will Bell with his blueberry rabbit eye wine, delicious stuff. And then a big fan of the show @RealJoshElliott. Like I said, I also have a new person. I'm assuming maybe, I don't know if Torn's a girl's name or a dude's name, to be honest, but I have Torn as well. I don't know if that's someone, if they want to be shouted out, how they want to be shouted out. I'm not going to do their full name right now. Before I get out of here, yeah, also follow me on Twitter @TowerGangJose. I'm going to take a second to go through some of these real quick because there's some that rolled in at the end, and I want to let you guys know I appreciate you. So I'm going to check these out. I'm also scanning Rumble, make sure there's no super chats. All right, I got Jules saying Toad is coming in Sound Sign Saturday with me and Paranoid American. Yeah, I told you you'd be fucking down for that. You hit me up about that, Jules. Yeah, I knew Toad would be excited. So definitely check that out on Saturday. Let me see what else there is. You should be on the pot for Morning Dump. Yeah, maybe in the future. If this show ever gets like huge, then I don't know. Maybe we'll have to like do something. I don't know. I probably could even just do like what Alex Stein does with the backdrop and make it like a bathroom. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how. I'm not really a shticky guy. I don't think I'm gonna lean that hard on the shtick. We'll see. Peace, guys. Have a good day. So someone says, I guess it's a lawsuit in the Netherlands. No jail time yet. Yeah, I doubt it. All right, guys. I appreciate everyone showing up. Appreciate everyone who supports. I will probably see you guys again tomorrow, same time. Not promising anything. We'll see. I don't know if I should spoil you guys that much with 4 a week. I'm going to get out of here. Love y'all. See ya. Bye-bye.